Good morning. We're doing the Sefer Amidot, and we were learning about the different types of stinginess, and we had actually reached a type of stinginess that should resonate with most people. And that is the stinginess where a person can spend on himself what's necessary. But when it comes to giving other people, so then people have a hard time sharing their wealth with other people. And even though a person will say, I do give, but a person will usually give when it's his leftovers. Here we can add, there was a big chacham in northern Africa called Rav Chaim Falaji. He was such a genius that when he was lying on his deathbed, he had compiled a few works that weren't yet printed. And he realized he wouldn't see them to print. So he called the printer over and he said to him, look, I want to think through with you how we're going to do the page settings. And then he wrote an index based on the pages in his own mind, based on the pages that he set up with the printer. So he was such a genius, he was able to set up an index for a book that wasn't yet printed. So Rav Chaim Falaji, in his commentary on Tanakh, says, what was the difference between Eov and Avram Avinu? He says, when Avram would take in a guest, Avram would give the guest to eat before he himself would eat. When Eov would take in a guest, he would eat and then give the guest to eat. And that's a world of a difference. Imagine you just bought a cake. You just bought yourself something. Do you give the first piece to someone else? Or do you give the leftover piece to someone else? Says the Magid Miduvna, back to our work over here, the Sefer Amidot. He says, that's a type of stinginess, when a person will only give his leftovers. I caution you that this can easily creep into one's relationship with one's spouse and one's own children. And it's important that a person trains himself to give to others before they take to themselves, and even at the expense of taking for oneself.
How does it creep? What do you mean by it creeps into your relationship with your spouse and your children?
You bought a special dessert for Shabbos. You're cutting the cake. Who gets the best piece? There isn't enough chocolate for everyone to go around the table. So one can easily say, why should I always give in? Or one can say, of course I'll give in. Let the other kids have and I won't have. You know, we had some kind of sweet last Shabbos. And I had an interesting conversation with one of the kids. So this child came over to me and said, Abba, do you want? So I said, I don't know yet. So then I was told as follows. If you take, then there isn't enough for everyone to get two pieces. But if you don't take, then there'll be enough for everyone to get two pieces. So it struck me because I said to myself, it's a good sign. Because it means that I'm kind enough to him that he thinks it obvious that I'm going to forgo my piece so that everyone else can get two. On the other hand, I have to teach him that that's not a nice way to ask. So I said to him, you know what? I have a very good idea. If you don't take, then there'll be enough for all of us to have two. But I was happy, and then I didn't take. But I was happy that his perspective was that a parent will want me to have more than they'll want themselves to have. That's a perspective he should have. That's the way it should be. He shouldn't take it for granted. It's not nice to come and say, Abba, right, you don't want? That's not nice. Okay, so you teach him that. But it's more important to teach him the other thing. A guy once came and asked the following question. His 14-year-old son was clearing the table, and by mistake he spilled juice on his 16-year-old son's iPad. So the iPad died. So the 16-year-old said to the 14-year-old, you have to pay. And the 14-year-old said, I was doing what you should have been doing is clearing the table. So something spilled, but you didn't help and I did help. So what do I have to pay for? So the 16-year-old said, that's very nice, but you killed my iPad. You have to pay. You have to give me a new one. Now, neither one of them could afford an iPad. So the father came and asked me, what's the halacha? I said to the father, you know, before we discuss halacha, let's discuss education. He says to me, I said, why did you come to me? He says, because I want to train the kids that when you have a halachic question, you go to the Rav, you ask a question, you get a halachic answer, and that's how you behave. I said, I hear that in other areas of life. But let me ask you, what's going to happen when you die? You want your kids to go to Din Torah because you taught them that when there's an issue between them, then they should go to the Rav? You want them to go to court over your inheritance? Is that what you want? I think what you should want is that they should be kind and giving to one another. And that your role as a father is not just to mediate, to come and say, you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to teach them what it means to be a giving person. You got to chip in, you got to talk to the younger one and tell them, look, you did damage the iPad. Ah, you can't afford whatever it costs, so I'll go with you halfway or as much as is necessary. Teach them right from wrong, but teach them more than that, what it means to be a kind, giving person. Don't tell them you came to me. Then you're training them that whenever there's an issue between them, instead of being giving and kind people, they should go and go all the way with one another. If you owe me, you pay me. So then when you die, wait, they'll do the exact same thing. You got to teach them that's not the way brothers behave. So part of the kindness that we have to impart in our own homes, and that's what I meant when I said this can creep into the home. Part of the kindness is that we should show our children that we are forgiving and kind people, and that that's what they should be. Now, it's very easy for this stinginess to creep into our relationship with our kids. Should I always be giving my kids? No, sometimes you have to take for yourself too. But the general feeling in the home has to be a feeling of giving. V'ne'emar, we continue in the Magid Midovna, and it says, Yishamar lecha peni yadavarim levavcha b'liya lemor karevah shnat ha'sheva shnat ha'shmitah. A verse that's so applicable here. The Torah says, when you give a loan, be careful, lest you tell yourself something that's really without the fear of heaven, this thought. But lest this thought creep into your mind, you say to yourself, hey, Shemitah's just around the corner. And then you'll look at your brother who's impoverished with an evil eye. And then you won't give him a loan. And then he who is stuck in this dire situation where people don't want to give him a loan because Shemitah is just around the corner, and we know that Shemitah can absolve loans, so then he will call up to heaven over you, and in heaven they will find you lacking. So you see, the person seems to have a good claim. Why should I give a loan that the Torah is going to absolve him from repaying? And yet the Torah says, no, that's not the way to behave. So a person that has this type of stinginess is erring on three fronts. Harishon, firstly, b'mamono asher tachat yado. When it comes to a person's own money, choshev alav ki ushelo. Person thinks that's mine. Chelkom nat midato v'goralo. Person thinks, of course, that's what I deserve. I'm entitled to it. This is what's been decreed in heaven. This is mine. Chelef ma'asav atovim b'nei Hashem. God must really love me because look at all the good He's given me. And that's not what the Torah says. Ki is here. The Torah, on the contrary, the Torah warns and says, Lo yera levavecha betitecha lo. Don't have an evil heart as you give him the money. It's because you're giving him that God blesses you. We think, I have the money, should I give it to him? And the Torah says, if you give it to him, you'll have the money. Biglal hadavar hazeh is a result of your giving, God gives you money. We think, if I have money, I'll think about whether I should give. Obviously, I have the money because I deserve it. No! Mashal echad shemachar chatzero lechavero, it's similar to a person who sells his yard to his friend. V'chatzero zeh ayu kama batim v'inyanim l'rov. In that yard, there are many buildings and houses. U'mem yu b'inyanim ru'im. Some of the houses, some of the buildings were damaged. Shayu tzichim tikun. They were in need of fixing. But there was wood ready over there to fix those rooms. And those pieces of wood were also sitting there in the yard, ready to be used for building. And there was exactly the right amount of wood to fix the buildings. Yes.
I've seen this whole idea, like when you're giving the people that the money comes back, but I've seen it one time in a really weird way, and I want to know if it's the same kind of application.
So let's talk about it after class.
Okay.
And when the person bought the yard, he didn't see those buildings that were damaged. ובראותו באמצע החצר מונח הרבה עצים שלא היו בחשבון קנייתו, and he signs the deal, and then he starts walking through the yard, and he sees a lot of wood lying in the yard that he didn't realize he was buying with the yard. וחשב הקונה כי זהו ותרנות מאת המוכר. So the buyer thinks to himself, wow, the seller was so nice to me. He gave me this whole pile of wood free with the yard. וישמח מאוד על מכרו זה. So he was so happy. He got a better deal than he thought. לזמן ראה אותו המוכר וישלם ומרווה עליו הקנייה אשר קנה. After a time, the seller meets up with the buyer and he asks him, are you happy with the lot you bought from me? השיב לו הקונה ואמר בפנים שוחקות. So the buyer has a big smile and he says to him, כי זה רק ימים אחדים אשר הלך לתור את כל חדרי החצר. He says, you know, it's been only a few days ago, I actually went to tour all the different rooms in the yard, וראה כמה מהם ראויים ונוטים ליפול. And he says, you know, and I noticed some of those rooms are on the verge of collapse, רק חסרונה משועה כערך העצים המונחים. But he says, look at that. It turns out that the wood is just right to fix those rooms. So he's smiling, a big smile. He says, would you believe it? What a coincidence. There are some rooms that need fixing and there's exactly the right amount of wood. וזה מתעצב מאוד על העצים, למור כי היו בעיניו כשלולים ממנו, אחר שראיה משתשע עמהן בתחילה. And then the buyer looks at him and says to him with a sad face, he says, you know, but I had so many plans for that wood. And now suddenly I can't do all those things with that wood. I have to use it for those broken down rooms. ויאמר לו המוכר, so the seller says to him, אבל על כל פנים לא ידעתי למה חרה לך. He says, I don't know why you're so upset. ולמה נפלו פניך? Why is it that when you start talking about the wood, you say, you know, I was going to do all kinds of other things with that wood, and now I realize I have to fix those rooms with it. מה אין הייתה זאת לך לחשוב על עניין ותרנות של חינם? The seller tells him, why did you think I'd leave you with all that wood for free? כי באמת אני לא ויתרתי לך מאומה. I didn't give you anything for free. כי שיאלתי להכין עצים חזקים כפי צורך על הבניינים הראויים. On the contrary, I evaluated exactly how much wood you'll need to fix those rooms. That's why I gave you that wood. ואתה אם לא היית משתשם תחילה בעצים האלו, you know what your problem is? You walked into the yard, you saw that wood, and you said, wow, what amazing wood he gave me for free. So then when you suddenly realized you need that wood to fix the rooms, you said, gee, shucks, I had so many plans for that wood. If you wouldn't have made those plans, לא היית מתעצב עליהם אתה, you wouldn't be so upset right now. כן אמרו יתברך ברא עולם, the same is true in our world. God created a world, and God created within that world אנשים דלים ואביונים. People who are impoverished, binyanim ruim ad meod, they are those rooms that are on the verge of collapse. Umul ze achin asherim gdolim, corresponding to the poor, God prepared wealthy people, asher itram tochal dalat ha'am. They have so much excess, they could feed everyone. Ve'ashir biroto oshro v'atzlachato hono urchusho. But what happens when a person looks at his bank account and he sees the big numbers? מתענג ומשתשע במאוד. He has all kinds of plans. He's very happy. It's very nice to have a big fat bank account. כי חושב כי שלו הוא. Because he views it as his. ומנת גורלו. Person thinks, of course, this is what's been decided in heaven should be mine. וחושב זאת לוותרנות מאת השם אליו. He thinks God gave it to me as a freebie. Just like the guy who bought the yard looks at the wood and says, I got a freebie. ואחר שעיניו תראינה כי סביב עניים ילכו, and then he looks around and he says, hey, there are hungry people. There are kids who don't have clothes. There are kids who are going to school next year and they don't have a knapsack. You know, there are children in this neighborhood that don't have a winter coat. We had a coat. One of my girls had a coat that the zipper didn't work. And then she got from a cousin to hand me down a coat that was better. So we figured, why throw out that coat? We asked the neighbor, would you enjoy the coat? They said, yes. So we gave it to them. We didn't bother fixing the zipper because we were on the verge of throwing it out. It was an old coat. It was a coat that had already gone through generations. It was a 20-year-old coat for a 3-year-old, 4-year-old. And then we really ate our hearts out because the rest of the winter we saw this neighbor's girl was wearing that coat with the broken zipper, walking up and down past our house in the rain and wind and snow, holding the coat closed. So when we offered it to them, we were thinking, I'm about to throw it out. Maybe they have use for it. We didn't stop to think, hey, if they have use for it, they're not going to fix the zipper. And they're a 3-year-old. This is her good coat. She's lucky to have that. So he says, the Magen Miduvna, you look around, you suddenly see there are people who need things. And a person says, hey, I got to help them out. They're hungry. But then he thinks, oh yeah, I got to use my money for that. Then a person starts feeling bad. Hey, you know how much this is going to cost me? So the Maim Midivna says, but that's like the guy who looked at the wood. The only reason why we feel bad is because in the beginning we thought it was mine. That's why the verse says, don't feel bad when you give him, because this is why God blessed you. It's not that it was mine and now I have to decide what I'm doing with it. It's the other way around. If you were doing good with it, that's why God gave it to you in the first place. The verse means to say, God says, don't assume that I just forgave that money. You could have it, do what you want with it. That's not correct. The reason I made this money available to you, Hashem is saying, is to help the poor. Because God has decreed it that there will always be poor on the land. So God maintained the balance. What he took away from one, he gave to the other. And God doesn't give freebies in this world. So that's why you shouldn't feel bad when you give him. Because in truth it's his, it's not yours. The only reason the wealth was put in your hand is so that you will be the intermediary, but it's not yours. So that's the first issue, says the Magen Midovna. You know why a person is stingy with his things? Because he thinks it's his. I have a friend who he owns a lot of real estate and he does a lot of charity. And part of his charity is he gives loans. And often people don't pay back the loans. And he always tells me the same thing. He says, they think they're cheating me. They're not cheating me. It's not my money. And he always says it with a big smile. He says, I'm not doing charity with my money. And that's his perspective. Every time he makes money, he takes off a tithe, he puts it in another bank account, and he says, it's not my money. He takes off what he's supposed to give to tzedakah, puts it separately, and from that moment onward, he says, you know, I'm the God by tzedakah. It's not my money. I'm just responsible for deciding who to allocate it to, but it's not my money. That's the perspective the Magen Midivna is talking about. Hatuta sheni, the second error that causes people to be stingy. Etzel ha'ohevet mamonov yachshaveu lekiyum gamur, kvar ktuvim umsudrim advarim b'shar ahava. The second error about he who loves money and thinks that money will be with him forever. He says, I spoke about that at length in the gate about love. And finally, he concludes the chapter, Hatouta Shlishi, the third error, Bidvar Netinat HaTzedakah, when it comes to giving charity. Ki achshov et asher yiten lachavro mechaser lenafsho. A person thinks what I'm giving him, I'm losing. B'chasher be'atzedakah, titpent parnasato. A person thinks if I give too much charity, I'll lose my income. V'adaval behifech. And in truth, it's the other way around. Ki hi hasiba la'avi abracha. The reason why a person has blessing is because he gives charity. As the verse says, Haviu et kol ha'maser el beit ha'otzar, v'hi teref b'veiti. Uv'chanun ina v'azot amar shem tzakot, m'laftach lachem tarbot ha'shamayim, v'rukti lachem b'chad lidai. The one area where the Navi says, the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, that one can test God, is when it comes to tithing and giving one's charity. God says, test me. You give charity and you'll see that I'll give you a lot. Come on. You want to know the halachic applications? We have to have a special class on that. Because that's a big discussion. Is it only talking about the miser of the crops? Is it also talking about the tithe you give to the poor? It's a good question. Come on, gagil shel ba'aretz. That means conceptually, without the practical halachic application. Conceptually, it means you give and see if you have less at the end of the day because of it. You'll see you won't have less. Kma gagil shel ma'aretz. Just like when you plant a seed in the ground. Gam ki le'einenu nireh ki hu nifsad v'nirkav. It seems to us like the seed is rotting. Uve'emet hu shoresh kol hatzmicha. When in fact, it's the other way around. That seed is what develops into growth. Ken hatzedakah shoresh kol hashefa. By the same token, charity is really the root of abundance. It doesn't cause one to lack anything. It causes abundance. It is the reason that God pours out blessing on man. And just as one rejoices when one plants, you know, if you plant, there will be growth. So too a person should rejoice when he's giving charity. One should be confident that this is the root of success. When we give charity, we should view it as the greatest sale. You just found the best deal, the greatest discount. Look at the opportunity you just found. So that's the third issue when it comes to giving charity. If a person can only realize that he's not losing anything by it, on the contrary, he's gaining. And that's a paradigm shift. Do I look at charity as what I'm giving the poor, or do I look at it as the greatest investment possible? And a person has to convince himself. Again, the first feeling is, hey, I used to have more money in my pocket, and now I have less. It's a shift. Yes?
Can I just take a minute or something to explain like how we can recognize... Because like, I hear this thing, like, you're supposed to put a coin there when it reaches their hand up. But then I've also heard this thing, like, you know, be careful about giving to certain people because there's some con artists. So how are we supposed to know, like, who to give to, who not to give to?
It's a good question. We have a whole chapter in the Avat Chesed on that topic. We discussed it at length for about a month and a half. So instead of giving you a 1 minute overview, get the full thing, it's online, in the Avat Chesed. If you look at it, that was still back in the